Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. We fled across the fields, black sky falling. I dream of grandfather. These are some of the titles of fabric art by Holocaust survivor Esther Niesenthal-Krinitz. Esther's family lived in a Polish village during World War II when German soldiers rounded up Jewish families October 15, 1942. Esther and her sister fled. They were the only two members of their family to survive. An exhibit at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore displays Esther's work, along with pieces by other artists who call attention to genocide and human rights abuses. When the long-term exhibition opened in February, we spoke with one of Esther's daughters, Bernice Steinhardt. In 2003, she and her sister founded the nonprofit Art and Remembrance, located in Silver Spring, in order to share their mother's story with wider audiences. I asked Bernice what she had heard growing up about her mother's experience in the Holocaust.
You know, there was never a time when I didn't know my mother's story. She always talked about her life before she came to the United States, growing up as a child before the war, when her life seemed rather idyllic to me. And then she shared the story of how she survived during the war and how she eventually came to the United States.
And when did she start making these embroidered pictures about her life?
Well, my mother always, despite the fact that she always talked about her her life, she decided when she was about 50 that she wanted my sister and me to see what her home and her family looked like. She had never been trained as an artist. She didn't know how to draw, but she could sew anything. She was an extremely gifted seamstress. And so when she wanted us to see her home, she took a piece of fabric and covered it with stitches. And she made two pictures, one for me and one for my sister. And then years later, she came back to these memory pictures and ultimately created 36.
You call them memory pictures.
Yes, they were her memories, the memories that she wanted to share with her children and ultimately her grandchildren.
Her skill in needlework, did that go back to her childhood?
Yes, actually, when she was 8 years old, she was apprenticed to the dressmaker in the village, and that's what she would have become if the war hadn't arrived.
I want to play a clip of your mother describing how she and her sister Manya separated from the rest of the family. This is from a 1997 interview with Lawrence Kasdan.
And I said, I'm not going. My father became mute, he couldn't talk. He was just emotional. My mother was trying to calm us down. So I begged my mother, I said, Mama, Tata, I said, you had so many friends, farmers, friends. Don't you know that a guy that I could go to? See, I was only, you know, I was selfish. I only thought of me. So my father said, Evsha Stefan in Dombrova. I call her Stefan. That's all I need. I'm going to Stefan. At that point, I said, I won't take Manya. Manya said, no, I'm not going with you. I'm going with Mama. So Mama says, Manya, gave it Esther. Go with Esther. So the little one, the youngest one, Laitcha, who I actually brought up, start crying, Esther, nimm mich, take me, Esther, take me. It's still ringing in my ears. Take me. And actually my mother pulled her back. She said, nein, die kannst nicht gehen, die wird sie klein. You're too little. You have to be able to work on a farm. You have to be older.
How did your mother and aunt survive?
Well, at first, she and Manya, my mother and Manya, went to the house of Stefan, the friend of her father's who was not Jewish. And he kept them for a couple of days, but ultimately had to turn them out because he said everybody in the village knew that they had come to him. And once the Germans arrived, they would kill the girls, they would kill him. And so they had to go. And that was when my mother realized that they could not survive as Jewish girls. And she made up these identities for them as Polish Catholic farm girls, with very Polish names, Josefina Grochowiecka and Marisha Grochowiecka, and they went to a village. Eventually, they came to a village where people didn't ask to see their papers, and they took them in, and they found work there and were able to survive the remainder of the war.
How many brothers and sisters did your mother have?
My mother, there were five children in the family. My mother had an older brother, and she was the oldest of four girls, so she had three younger sisters.
And what happened to their parents and their siblings?
We never knew for sure. We know that the Jews of their village and the surrounding area were scheduled for transport to a death camp called Belzec. But they could have died along the way. They could have been shot somewhere in the forest or at the train station where they were supposed to report. So we don't know exactly what happened to them, but they didn't survive.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Bernice Steinhardt, daughter of Holocaust survivor and artist Esther Niesenthal-Krinitz. An exhibit at the American Visionary Art Museum opening tomorrow displays Esther's needlework and fabric collages of life as a young Jewish girl living in Poland during World War II. How does the medium, thread and fabric, contrast with the dark subject matter she's dealing with?
I think many of us are accustomed to seeing images of the Holocaust in black and white, very stark, dark pictures. My mother's pictures, on the other hand, are extraordinarily colorful and vivid and, at first blush, full of life. It's not until you read the caption, because they all have stitched narrative captions, it's not until you read the caption and understand what's going on that you realize that what she's depicting is sometimes a happy story, but other times a very dark and violent story.
And these stitched narrative captions are in English. She was making these pictures for you and your sister, right?
Exactly, exactly. She did this to complement, I would say, the stories that she always told.
The very medium she's using, these detailed stitches, did that lead to her including so much detail in her memory pictures?
It's a really good question. I think that my mother had an extraordinary visual memory. And even as she told her stories, she had many details that she filled in. So when she was stitching, she had the time to recall all of those details, things that never really escaped her memory. You know, people
have... Give an example.
Well, she would remember, for example, what flowers were blooming, that it was June and there were roses in bloom, that there were fruits coming in on the trees in the orchard behind the farm, on the farm that she was tending. But I think that my mother's extraordinary visual memory accounted in part for her survival. She was always paying attention to what was going on around her. She didn't suddenly developed this while she was in hiding. I think it was something that she was just gifted with but drew on during her years in hiding, so that she was always on alert for what was going on in her environment.
Always on alert, always so aware, and yet somehow it didn't overwhelm her, those awful memories.
They didn't overwhelm her. I think that her memories were essential for her to keep alive her feelings for her family. She was separated from her family while she was still a girl. She was only 15 when she and Manya left their family. And she never stopped thinking about her family for the rest of her life. And so reliving these experiences was her way of staying connected to her family and staying connected to the love that she felt for them and the love that they had for her.
I think in particular of some of the embroideries of celebrating Jewish holidays with her family. I mean, for someone who had lost all physical mementos, no menorah, no tablecloth, no photographs, and more important, had lost the family, who could reminisce about those days? Was that a comfort?
I think clearly it was. I think that she needed to tell the story of her leave-taking from her family and the beginning of the journey that she and Manya set out on. Those were the first pictures that she created, apart from the two of her childhood home. In telling her story, she didn't create these pictures in chronological order. She created them in what I think of as the psychological order. So the pictures she needed to tell, or the story that she needed to tell in her pictures, were first her leave-taking. But as she was creating them, she went back and forth in time, and I think that she needed to go back to the life that she had before the war, when she was happy and still with her family. And those pictures, those memories, centered on the Jewish holidays, because that was when everyone was together.
Would you describe one of the tapestries and the story behind it?
I love all the pictures that my mother did, each and every one of them. But the one that actually inspired awe when I first saw it is one that I call Heaven and Hell. She didn't name any of the pictures. These are names that we gave just to identify them. And in that picture, it's almost, it's divided in half. And on one side of the picture is my mother and her sister, and they are tending cows, which they've brought to graze on this beautiful June day. And looking through these bushes that are stitched in the center of this painting vertically, my mother saw that they were next to this death camp called Yanishev. And she could see that there were these Jewish men and boys who were laboring there under the watchful eyes of German soldiers. And when they grew too exhausted to work, they were led into this birch forest and shot. And the contrast between these two sides of the picture is just extraordinary. One side is beautiful, colorful, vivid greens, lush grass, two innocent girls and their cows. And on the other is this swirl of hellish activity. The colors are gray and brown. So the colors are so starkly different. The activity is so starkly different. And it struck me that this is the essence of the experience of war from a child's perspective, a civilian's perspective, that life is still happening. Trees are still blooming, the grass is still growing, but right next to it is the horror of war.
About how long would she work on a memory picture like that?
I'm often asked that question. How long did it take her to make this picture? She did 36 pictures altogether, and she finished most of them over a 10-year period. So I calculate, on average, the pictures took her 3 to 4 months to create. But one thing I wanted to add to that is that for much of this time, my mother owned a clothing store in downtown Frederick. So she was running a business, and creating these pictures was what she did in her spare time.
Was your mother's goal to document her life? Was it to draw attention to the Holocaust? Both?
My mother's goal was to pass on her memories to her daughters. She never thought of herself as an artist, even after she had created this incredibly beautiful body of work. She still was thinking that this was about documenting what happened. It was not about expressing herself as an artist. And yet, she was an artist.
Your mother died in 2001. How would she feel about so many people looking at her personal life?
I think she would be amazed. I think she would be gratified. It would be very gratifying to her to know that so many people, first of all, cared about her and her family and what happened to them, that they were moved by what she had to say about that. She would be very impressed. I think that people could recognize the skill and artistry of what she was doing, I think that would have been a big bonus to her. But it was really that she could preserve the memory of her family, that they wouldn't disappear.
Art and Remembrance, your nonprofit, aims to share your mother's work and story, and part of that work is done through partnerships with schools. Tell us about the educational programs you provide.
When my sister Helene and I created Art and Remembrance, we wanted it to be a way of sharing my mother's legacy, but we saw the legacy as more than just displaying her artwork. What she left for us was also a sense of the importance of depicting what was going on in the world at the time that all this happened, the anti-Semitism, the injustice, the intolerance, all those forces that took away her life and her family, the life that she knew, and the people that she loved. So we saw Art and Remembrance as being about more than just sharing pictures, more than just sharing the story, but also trying to create a sense of empathy and compassion for others who experience that kind of injustice. And our school programs, of course, we wanted it to be educational. We wanted children to understand not only what the events were, but how it felt to be a victim of those sorts of events. And we wanted them to be able to relate it to what's going on in the world today, that this wasn't something that happened only 70 years ago. This is something that is still going on in the world today, and to be able to recognize and talk about that.
What do you hope people take away from your mother's art?
I would love for them to understand the beauty of the world that she lived in and that she never lost that sense of beauty, and how quickly it was taken from her. In just a few years, she lost everything that was important and meaningful to her. And that happened so fast. When we look at what's going on in the world today, we see some stirrings of the same kinds of feelings that were prevalent, let's say, in the world that my mother lived in. And we have to be able to recognize that and resist them.
I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bernice Steinhardt is the daughter of Esther Niesenthal Krinitz and president and chair of the nonprofit Art and Remembrance. The exhibit Esther and the Dream of One Loving Human Family will run for the next 5 years at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore. In addition to Esther's embroideries, visitors can also see paintings created from a collaboration between an art activist and survivors of the Rwandan genocide. AVAM's collection of fabric art documenting life under South African apartheid and work by local Native American artist Judy Tallwing. We've got more information about all this at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Quick break now. On the Record, I'm Sheila Cast. When we're back, a Stoop story.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.